Lord and inhabits the praises of his people. Have your Bibles, and want to open up to St. John chapter 14. St. John chapter 14, we're going to read verse 1 through 3. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to this part of the service, we're just trusting totally in you, Lord. This is your word. Lord, it is glorious to us when we read these things. We know that there are so many layers within your word. Lord, it's, I suppose, infinite. And so we're so thankful, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is present to open up these things to us and to allow us to sit in heavenly places. We don't claim to do it ourselves, Lord, but we are your redeemed. And we know, Lord, that you have confirmed your promise, that you always come where we're gathered. We are gathered here tonight in your name. We're asking, Lord, that you would just find liberty among us in our hearts. Lord, that you would drive away anything that would hinder, any spirit that would hinder. Lord, that you would just create a clear channel for your word to travel through tonight into the hearts of your people. We love you, Lord, and we commit and give all these things into your hands. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to title this, Putting on a New Garment. Putting on a New Garment. And I asked the other day when Brother Ben was here, I felt led to have everybody listen to the sermon, Things That Are To Be. And I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hands who have or have not. But if you haven't, shame on you. But tonight I want to use that sermon. That's where what I want to share tonight comes from. And it's going to be a little bit different. What I'm doing a little bit tonight is a little bit different because I usually just write my own notes the way. But I'm going to try and follow in the pathway that Brother Graham took in that sermon for a reason. And so you pray that the Lord will still give me the liberty that I need in myself to follow this. And so Brother Graham was telling us, and he starts out in that sermon, he says that, you know, the night before he had spoke on the message of the rapture, and he had spoke to the people, and he said this night when he was speaking that he said, if we are Christians, I think that we should be notified as to what our destination is going to be, where we're going, what it's going to be like. And so, I think that you realize him as a prophet and as being sent here for the purpose of getting a bride ready and being sent here to bring a message to us to get us into rapturing faith. I think he felt obligated or felt led of the Lord, obviously, to take the time to say, I think you should know what you're coming to. And what this is, this the things that are to be. And so, and I think that's true. So he was saying that when Jesus, here in the scripture, when Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, Brother Ram said, I'm not trying to change the word of God, but just so you can understand what I'm talking about, he said, In my Father's kingdom are many palaces, something like that. And so he's trying to say, because when the scripture was translated, the Lord of the house, he had a house, the Lord over it was not necessarily just his building, but it was, you know, his kingdom or whatever. And so so when they put that in there, that's may it be why they translated it that way. But Brother Graham said what he wants you to understand is that in my Father's kingdom are many palaces. Not because how could you have a whole bunch of mansions in a house or something like that? And so he said, when Jesus is telling them this, he says, Jesus was saying, my life is ending here, because he was here present with them. He He said, my life is ending, but I want you to know that because my life is ending here on this earth, it's ending for a purpose, because I'm leaving here and I'm going somewhere. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. I mean, you know, so we're not going to stay here forever. We're not going to be in this body forever, not in this form, right? And not in this corruptible form. And so that the time's coming where each one of us, all of us, are going to come to a time in our life where things change greatly. One way or the other, wherever the Lord tarries or rapture or whatever, we're coming to a time where it's going to be a massive change. And so we should prepare for that. And so he was saying that Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples here in this situation here that this life does not end in death. And that's the way Brother Bram said it. This life does not end in death. It makes me think of Brother Bosworth when Brother Bram went to see him when he was passing on, and he said, you know, you're dying. And Brother Bosworth said, I can't not die. And that's right. Christians can't die. Remember, death doesn't change you. It just changes your dwelling place. Right. And so Brother Bram was saying here in this sermon as a foundation that Jesus was telling his disciples that this life does not end in death. And so, Brother Bram said, as we get older, as individuals, we get older, that begins to mean more to us. And we begin to realize, and he said, we begin to prepare, we begin to back up closer and prepare for that hour because we know it's coming. And so as you get older, you begin to understand this a little bit more and preparing. So Brother Bram said, that life that we're going to, he wants you to understand where we're headed and what it is. So that you don't have some, like he thought, oh, you might be floating around like a cloud or something like that. He said, that life is a continuation of this life, just in a different place. That's what he said. In another place, and maybe I'll read it if I had the quote here, that God started our spiritual life. He started right here in this realm, and then he takes us on. And so that place that we're going to is just this life, just in a different place. We probably don't necessarily think of it like that. But listen, that place is more real than this. That dimension is more real than this one is. We're more spiritual being than we are flesh being. That's right. And so that's just a continuation of this life. And so Brother Bram said, when we see God, when he spoke in his word and he said all the things about the ages coming down, the church ages and so forth, he said, when we see God coming in this hour and fulfilling everything that he said he was going to do, you know, we realize that his word must come to pass. And so Brother Bram said, it's like a seed. When you plant that seed, you're not going to plant one seed and get something else. You're not going to plant tomatoes and get corn. When you plant a seed, and the scriptures tell us the word of God is a seed, right? When you plant that seed, you can't get anything except what was planted. And you'll get it in its strength and in it, but it has to go through a time of dying first. And so it's like a seed. And he said it was like when the prophet said, a virgin shall conceive. Brother Ram said that word that prophet spoke circled this earth for 800 years. That word is a seed. It must come to pass. And so it circled this planet for 800 years. And when it finally lodged into the womb of Mary and brought forth Jesus Christ. And so it makes no difference how long it is. If God spoke it, it must come to pass. It's a seed. It will produce what it said. And it'll circle, it'll hang around, and it'll circle and hang around until finally it finds the believing heart, the womb, that will believe what he said and accept it. That's what Mary said, right? Be it unto me, right? Be it unto me. And so that word will circle around. And so everything God said. And so this passage of scripture right here where Jesus said, listen, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and get you so that you can come and be there too. That word is circling this planet. And it has been circling for all these thousands of years, a couple of thousand, and has been circling. But there is a womb that is going to go into that's going to bring it to pass. And that's in the bride of this hour, obviously. And so Brother Bram says, You know, we are moral agents. And so I want to say just like this, and that word, as it's circling around, just like that prophecy did, as it's circling around, looking and waiting for the time and the right womb that he can bring to pass the rapture in the lives of the people, while that's all moving around, we stand here as free moral agents, and we can do whatever we want. We can live however we want to. Yeah. But the point of that is that oughtn't we to choose by free choice? Oughtn't we to choose and have a desire to let that word fall into our hearts? Let that word come and manifest itself in us. Oughtn't we to position ourselves and believe and strive to believe, or whatever, however you want to say it, to the place that changes us, that we know that we're accepting the very word that's going to change our fiber, the fiber of our being, right? And so we're free moral agents. We can choose, but let us choose the thing that's changing us, the thing that will change us. So we can do however you want with the message, but I pray that we're believing it and receiving it. And so Brother Graham said, our bringing us here on this earth in the natural was planned by God. We know that. It was planned by God. And he said, you know, we are his children. We have his genes, his genetics in us. And if we have the genetics of God in us, if that makes us an attribute of God, right? This is message terminology. So if we are an attribute of God, Brother Graham said, we cannot live by creeds. We cannot live by man-made dogmas and creeds and all kinds of man-made religion, right? That is not the food of a child of God. And so this goes together, because we've got this message that he's going to change us. He's coming back for us. He's made a place for us. That message is circling. That's the word of God. That's our food. Not the food of a man, not his idea, not somebody else's idea, and what CNN or anybody else wants to tell you. But that's our food. Like you said, that when you recognize that the Word of God is eagle food, then you've left the other thing, the denominational thing, you know what you're talking about, and you've heard from your theophany. You've made contact with your representation in that realm, is what he's telling us.
Right.
And so we have his genes in us, and that makes us an attribute of God, and that means that we cannot live off of the creeds of man. So if you're a believer, if you're a real Christian, predestinated, you're not happy with listening to all that stuff. You have something in you that's hungering for something that will only come from the Word of God for the hour. Amen? So Brother Branham tells us that, see, the entire Christian experience, the whole thing, is built on divine revelation. So this is what we're talking about. See, we want to position ourselves, but it is a divine revelation that brings this message to us that we are to receive and we are to act upon that will change us. It's a divine revelation. Therefore, the bride will come forth in this hour. She will be changed like this, like the scripture we said. He'll come and receive us that we can be with him in that realm, a realm that's more real than this one. That's a continuation of this one. He will do that, and it will come to pass, but it'll be a revelation in the heart of the bride that brings that to pass, believing the word. That's how he can hide it from everybody else, but reveal it to her and hide himself in simplicity. And so, Brother Graham said that everything when we came here, everything here was prepared for us. Your parents, they got ready and so forth and made preparations, And all the things that were here that made it possible for you to come here, God made preparations for you to come here. He's the one that brought us to this earth.
Right.
Wasn't just our parents. That wasn't it. The scriptures tell us that we were born by the will of God. Not by the will of flesh or will of man, but the will of God. And so he brought us here. Everything was prepared for us. And as we become Christians, and as we grow up in the Lord, as we become more mature in the Lord, we begin to look back on our life, and there were things in our life that we didn't understand, but it was always God moving us. God moving us and working. And at that time, you might not have had a clue what was going on, but as you get older and more mature in the Lord, you can look back and you can see that God's hand was with you every bit of the way, preparing you, bringing you for this hour. So he made preparations so that when we come here, everything we would need to develop and do what we do here in this natural life, It was all here, and he prepared it. Your parents, and even could be a job, the food, whatever. He made preparations so that you could be here because he sent you here. It's not going to send you out into a void, and then, you know, here you are, and you're like nothing. No, he sends you, and he makes preparations for you in this natural. And so you begin to understand those things more and more, and why you made decisions, why things happened the way they did. And I'm saying all that to say this, is that if God could do that to bring you here, then can he make preparations for you there? Right? So he sure can. So Brother Bam is referring to that place. He speaks of it as being as heaven, like heaven. And he said, and I want you to listen to this. If you want to know what it's going to be like, okay? He said, I believe heaven is a real place. Just the same as this is a real place. See, for God started us out in our spiritual growth in this place. And I believe heaven is a place just as real as this, where we don't just sit up there for eternity and just sit there on a cloud. We don't strum a harp, you know, out of the things like that, for all and from here ever. But we're going to a real place where we're going to do things. We're going to live. We're going to work. We're going to enjoy. We're going to live. We're going to life, to a real eternal life. We're going to a heaven, a paradise. He said, just like Adam and Eve worked and lived and ate and enjoyed in the Garden of Eden before sin came in, we are on our road right back to that again. Remember, he's going to do three things. Get, you know, reveal himself in Christ, get prim in his church, and then restore the Eden condition. Right. So I'm talking about Eden in the fall, Eden before the fall. Yeah. So Brother Bram says, you're going to work, you're going to live, you're going to enjoy. And so just like the first Adam, we're on our road back again. The first Adam through sin taking us out, but the second Adam through righteousness bringing us back again, justifies us and brings us back in. So we're not just going to somewhere that's, you know, we're going to a place that is as real as this or more real as this. And we're not just, you know, he said, we're going to eat, we're going to work. If you think about it, in that great mountain, and there are people who are going to come in and bring in their honor to that city and come in and go out. And those who don't come in and go out will not receive rain on their crops. It's a real place. So Brother Branham is telling us this. He said, in my Father's house, as he's quoting this, in my Father's house are many mansions. And as soon as he said that, he said, I don't believe we're all going to look the same. The many mansions he's talking about is where we go, the body that we take in that realm. He says, we're not all going to look the same. God makes big men, little men, you know, some that are just all the different natures, and he talks about the different natures, and so God is a God of variety. And so he's letting us know that this place that Jesus has went to prepare is the body that you're going to be in. Right? We have a body. You know what? You know the way Brother Room taught it in Who Is This Melchizedek and so forth, that we have this natural body, right? And then we go to a theophany, right? And then we come back into a glorified body. And in that body, after we leave here, before we come to the theophany or come back to the glorified, we don't eat in that body. But when we come back to the glorified body, we do eat. I mean, he knows that. We get to eat. Jesus appeared to them in that form and said, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him broil, fish, and honeycomb. He ate it and then vanished. And when he vanished, that food that he ate went with him. Right? So here's the disciples, the physical, tangible food there that they watched him eat, and then he vanished out of their sight, and that food was gone because it went with him. See? And so we're going into that kind of kind of supernatural realm into a body that he's prepared for us. And so, but Brother Graham says, this body here, is temporal, is temporary. And it only speaks of one that is eternal that we're going to. It speaks of one that is greater, as he said. Right. Talking about this likeness here, that how that Jesus prepared it. And it says, just as the body gives us here, just as the as this body he gave you to live in, only expresses that there is one that is greater yet to come. See, if we bear or have borne the image of the earthly, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. That's scripture that he's quoting. Which holds no evils in this one that is to come. Now this one here, this one does have evil and sickness and death and sorrow. But that one, he says, that one doesn't hold those things. Those things aren't there. So Brother Bram's saying that just as a mother when she's pregnant, and she begins to crave foods. And Brother Bram said that is her body crying out that she's got a lacking of something, a mineral, a vitamin, or something there. And so she begins to crave food that has that in it. Listen, there's an intelligence working a lot deeper than just her gray matter. Right? Right? And so it cries out, and so she may not know what it is, but crying out, and so and the whole purpose of that is because that little baby's being formed in her womb, and God, there's a life that's going to come to that, and God wants that life, that body that's being formed in that womb, he wants it to be healthy, so that it's a good tabernacle, a good place for this life to dwell. See? God could make us live somewhere in a spirit form and not have a body, but he made it to where we're going to live in a body. And when we leave this one, we go to another one. We leave the theophany, we go to the glorified. He wants us in a body. That's his whole thing. He made it that way. But the whole concept here is that body that's being formed inside mom, it must be healthy. Everything must be there with all the nutrients and everything it takes to make that happen. And so God has a mechanism that makes her crave things, and by her getting those things, it gives her body what it needs to help that baby form. Right. And so that's a whole process that God built and put in there, and we call it nature or whatever, but God did it. It's his programming in there so that when that life comes here, he has prepared for it already, so that when it comes there, it has a place that's healthy and like he wants. And so there's a mechanism there for that, as a mother craving things. And so Brother Bram says, just like that there is a body there. Jesus said, I go to prepare it, but it's the body we're going to live in, a continuation of this life, but we're going to change and go to a different place. And so that body is there, and he said, so that body needs to be formed. It needs to be formed, and everything that it needs has to be there. And God has gone to prepare that, to make sure that. But how he prepares it is what we're going to talk about. How he's doing that is what we're going to talk about tonight. Because that body needs to be healthy. When we step from this realm into that realm, God wants us to not be lacking anything in that realm, whatever that body's like. Probably look like the ones we are now, except when we were younger, probably. And so, But it has to be formed, and it's not a flesh body like this. It's a supernatural word body. It's made of God's word. And so this one here is temporal, but it speaks of that one to come. And this one will pass away, and we'll leave this one and go to that one. And so if that body's being formed, then how does it get all the things that it needs to be formed properly so that when you get there, you're not lacking? And we'll talk about that in just a little bit more. See, here in this body, we have pain, we have sorrow, we have death, we have those things. But Brother Bram said that one, that world that we go to, that body, that realm, he said that one's not earmarked. Satan can't touch it. See, in this life, even as Christians, we still have to deal with the fall. This is still got earmarked. Satan still has a punch coming at you. See? But Brother Branham said that one, it's not earmarked at all. It's totally, completely paid for. So when we leave this realm, when we go to that place, to that realm, Satan can't follow you there. He might follow you out the door tonight. He might follow you to work tomorrow, whatever. But this is one place he cannot go.
Right.
He cannot follow you, and there's nothing you can do. There's not going to be anything present there from his kingdom, from Satan's realm when you get there, because it's not earmarked. It's been paid for totally and completely. And remember, these are phrases that a vindicated prophet is telling you just one or two sermons before God takes him home. So I know he knows what he's talking about. He knows exactly what he's talking about. Yeah. Amen. And so, here we have all those things, but there we will not. Here, we live by education and science and civilization. We come to work in cars, it's science built. We eat food that they've made and all these things. This realm, we need those things. We need clothes. We need all the things like that, because it's this realm. But in that realm, we don't need those things. There will not be automobiles. There will not be airplanes. There will not be cell phones. No Facebooks. No, nothing like that. That realm doesn't require those things, and they won't be there. They won't be needed. Because remember, back in the Garden of Eden, it was Cain's people who started going right after science and civilization, begin to learn how to do things and build cities and name cities after themselves and try to make big names for themselves. But the line of Seth, men began to call on the name of the Lord, and they were just sheep herders and that sort of thing.
Right.
See, science and civilization is the devil. I'm quoting him, right? Because it provides these things and does all these things and gets people away from God, away from following the Lord. And so here we live by education, science, and civilization, and those sorts of things. But there, we don't need those things. So we won't be taking that with us, obviously. Yeah. Brother Branham said, here, because we have death and sorrow, here we are in Satan's his pest house. Right. So you know what a pest house, you know, was? A place where people were sick and you'd take them in there, and so that their germs would not get on somebody else. And Brother Branham said, this is Satan's pest house. And it is. I think my Aunt Mary and I were talking the other day, and I said, every time you turn around, there's all kinds of bugs, all kinds of things jumping on you to make you sick. It's a pest house. It just, everything runs to it to try it, because it's a pest house. But Brother Ben said, that one up there is not a pest house. He said, it's my Father's house. And over there, you don't have these things. And we know that. We understand that. But over there, we're not going to be dealing with all these things. God takes us from the pest house. He said, look at how old he was. Look at Brother Dow, how old he was. And put another 30 years on him. What would he be like? He said, aren't you glad that there's something to take us out of this pest house? It's called death. But as we said at the beginning, this life does not end in death. That actually, for a Christian, it ends in victory. Amen. So he's taking us to his Father's house. Jesus went to prepare. So in this house, this body, no matter what you do to patch it up, it's still falling. And it's going to fall. They're looking for all this scientific studies and genetic this and thinking they can take stem cells and recreate a heart, recreate this and recreate that so that people can have perpetual life. It's ignorant, see? Because there's a judgment day coming for every one of them. And so no matter what they do, they can patch it up all they want, they're still going to die.
Right.
They're still, because this body has to go away. And for the believer, it has to go away so that we can step into the other one. Yeah. You can't go to the other one without leaving this one. You can't begin to take on that likeness and that nature unless you leave the nature of this one behind.
Right.
And so there is a nature that matches that we're growing into here, that's going to match that body, and that body's going to match the nature. And so as a believer, as Christians, as we grow and we begin to understand things more, and we grow in the knowledge and wisdom of God, that we begin to take on the nature that matches that realm and have less of the nature of this realm, of this flesh, because this one's passing away and God is preparing us for that one. Amen. And so no matter how much we patch it up, it's going to pass away. As he said a while ago, when a mother is craving things, and she's craving foods, and she's craving vitamins and things like that, because that's what the baby needs. But that's what it is spiritually now. That realm needs nutrients. That realm, that body we have, needs nutrients. It needs the right kind of things so that our experience will be full-rounded when we get there, and we'll be healthy in that realm for what it is. And you know, in that realm, there's nothing bad. It's beyond sublime. And so you know that if we're there, we're going to be all right. But so that you can understand, that has to be formed. Jesus said, "I went to do it," but it has to be formed there. It has to be materialized or so forth for us to step into. And so Brother Branham says, pertaining to that, when Mama needed something to help that baby form, she cried out for it. She had something, an appetite that cried out. And so then Brother Branham's trying to show us that the same thing's happening here. He said, now, stop just a minute. He says, why do we have revivals? Why do we assemble ourselves together? Why am I always rebuking the people? Why am I calling to you Pentecostal women, quit wearing pants and makeup and bobbing your hair and stuff like that? Why am I saying that? He said, because the old-fashioned way of Pentecost was not to do that, and the real Bible way is not to do that. You wearing these shorts and clothes that pertain to men, don't you know the Bible says that that's an abomination to God? But we permit it. Why does the Holy Spirit keep crying out? Why? If you're a believer, then the Holy Spirit deals with you every day, wooing you and talking to you and leading you, wanting you to surrender more and having you stop doing things that you shouldn't be doing and start doing things you should, right? He said, why does the Holy Spirit do that? Why does your preacher stand and preach the things that he does? Why is that? It's because that's what it takes to form that body over there in the way that he wants it. So he says, why is he crying out? It knows, talking about the Holy Spirit, it knows there's something lacking there. We must be the full stature of Jesus Christ. We must be sons and daughters of God. We must act like God's children. And so he's telling us that just like a woman craves things, then your experience, your craving for the things of God, your craving for compliance with this message, with this word. What is it? That word has been circling, and now it's found you, and God is dealing with you, and you have something crying out, a deep calling to the deep. And that whole thing is crying out. And as you receive that word and you accept that word and groan and cry for it and feed upon it, it's guaranteeing that your body on the other side is being formed well. Right. Does that make sense? This is what he's trying to tell us. And so the Holy Spirit deals with you because he wants to make sure that you have a body that's well formed to step into. A word body. Amen. And so Brother Bam goes on after that. He tells a story about the slave. His father's a king over in Africa. And so here, even though he's a slave, he conducts himself like the son of a king because his dad is king. And you understand, we talk about this all the time, even though we're in this world and we're in slavery, as it were, because we know we belong to another realm and that our father is the king of the entire universe, then we conduct ourselves. As Christians, we would conduct ourselves like Christians, right? And feed on this word and be more like that realm because that's where we belong. You take some of the brothers that have come from Africa, and you can tell they're from Africa because they have traits that they bring with them, their customs and things like that. So there's traits and customs and so forth of that realm that's being formed in us. And as it's being formed in us, it's being formed there. Amen. We say it like there, but, you know, you understand, it's another realm. Yeah. So We have to live here. We live here the way we do as Christians because our Father is King. And so, God is by dealing with us, with the Holy Spirit, by sending servants, so God is helping you to form what you need to be. And Brother Bam said, God will send a preacher to preach the truth to you. God will send preachers. He'll send the message. He'll put an influence in your life to share these things with you to help you develop into a mature Christian so that you can go to that place as being prepared. It's the Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to prepare a place. And he's doing that. When he sends a preacher to preach to you, when I stand here, Brother Daniel stand here, Brother Noah Rod, whoever it is, he sends those men, that is Jesus Christ, who has gone and he's preparing by bringing that word to you that will form that in your life. Amen. That's how important it is to receive the word of God. I heard Brother B.J. Ryan, I've said this before, but he was an old brother in Pentecost, precious brother. And he would preach sometime, and he was telling about a contractor, and I've told this before, the contractor, a man came and said, I want you to build a house, you know, and gave him the plans, and the contractor goes out, and he goes to build him the house, and everywhere he's looking, well, I can save a little money here by getting cheaper materials, and if I leave this out, and leave that, and he goes through, he builds the entire house, cutting corners and leaving things out, because he thought he could get by with it. And when it was all over and done with, the man who he worked for, that had hired him as a contractor, said, this is your house. This is your house. You cut corners in your own house. Now you have to live in what you did. And so, a little concept there, see? We don't want to cut corners. The Holy Spirit dealing with our lives day in and day out, and you hear messages and sermons, and when you pray, and your conscience bothers you, and all the different routes that the Holy Spirit deals with you, there's a reason for that. Right? Don't cut corners. Because that's your body being formed when God deals with you that way. Amen? So, Brother Bram said that Jesus only asked for one thing when he prayed. And that was for our fellowship. That's the one thing he asked for. Just, he wanted our fellowship. And so, God sent in preachers that will preach the truth to you. And those preachers preach the truth. He's building in your life, building up on one truth, on top of another truth, on top of another truth. And if you hear the preacher preaching, and you say, that's the truth, that man's telling the truth. Brother Bam said, that's vitamins that you need. Right? But he said, what if you blow up at it? He's picking on me or whatever. Right? What if you do that? See? Then it's not vitamins for you because you're rejecting it. You're rejecting the very nutrients that you need. See? And so, no matter how you look at it, because God has provided the word for us in such a great, wonderful magnitude, a way that he has with you know, we've got the Bible, we've got the sermons on tape, and you have it all these different ways. You can come to church, and we still live in a land where that's allowed. And so, because it's so important that we feed on the Word and let that be what changes. So, Brother Bram says, this life has to pass so we can go to that one. This body has to go away. And he said, it's like a new garment, new coat. But this one is all wore down, wore out. And you got another one that you can put on. And you hang this one up and put that one on. And what I want you to understand tonight is by receiving the word and letting that form in you, that's what you're doing. You're hanging up this coat. It may not look like it right now. But as you receive the Word of God and you let that deal with your life and you let it change you, you might look the same in the flesh, you might have more wrinkles tomorrow than you had today, but if that's going on in your life, you are in the process of taking this one off and hanging it up and turning to to go put on the other one. You're letting the Word of God, you coping with that, let that deal with you, is doing that. You're taking this one off and you're going to that one, putting it on. And at some point in the natural, at some point, this will change. But the changing of garment is taking in your spiritual, taking place in your spiritual walk by how you let this Word that God has sent deal with you. Remember the bride putting on a new garment, you know, a garment for a wedding? But just us putting on a new garment. Another body that we're going to be wrapped up in that's a Word body, that's a glorified body. And we're taking this one off and putting that one on. And the way we're doing that is by letting the Word change us day in and day out. So this one's worn out, so we're just going to hang it up and get a new one. Brother Graham says, but in that realm, you have to have an invitation. You have to have an invitation. And when you show up, you have to show that you've got the invitation.
Right?
When I get reserved rooms for these brothers that come and preach, I give them a confirmation number ahead of time. I say, when you walk up here, just give them this number. That's their confirmation. And when they walk up, there's a room for them waiting. And the only access to that room is to have the number that belongs to it. And when you walk up there with that number, that guarantees that you go to the room that's there. There's a body being formed, and we have to have a confirmation, a reservation, as he said. You have to have reservations for that place where you're going. And he gave the example and said, well, you know, I'm here. Well, do you have? No, I don't. Well, I'm sorry, we're all booked up, right? And so you have to have reservations. And I told you the story about them putting a man out of the room, and him and the newlywed wife, you know, put him out of the room because I had reservations, and it was already paid for in advance. This is already paid for in advance. Not earmarked. There's nothing can stop it, but we have to have the invitation. And we have to be able to show that we have something here that matches that when it comes time to go there. Amen. So, Brother Rem tells a story there in the scriptures there where they went out and they was going to have a wedding, and they went out to bring everybody in that they could, and he's talking about how in the customs over there that when they would have a big thing like that, everybody would come in, and the person in the house who was having the big shindig or whatever it was, that person would provide robes for everyone. And he'd invite all these people in. They'd have invitations. And they'd show up there, and he would put this robe on them, and they could come in if they were the person that was invited. And Brother Ram said, see, all the rich people could come, all the poor people could come, and when they all came, they all got the same robe. The rich and the poor both got the same robe. You couldn't tell them apart, right? Because in that setting, as guests, and this is the way it should be, because we shouldn't be partial to fancy people, and you know, but when we invite people, everyone should have equal status. They're a guest, and they all would receive the same garment, same robe, so there's no big eyes, no little U's, right? Sounds like heaven to me. Where Brother Ben was telling this story, and he's going and referring to in the scriptures where when they had brought everybody in, and everybody come in, and they had this robe sitting there, and they looked, and here was a man that didn't have a robe on. They said, Fred, how did you get here? How did you come in? And here's what Brother Graham said. He said, let me find what it was. He wanted to hang on to the old garment. Now let that soak in. He's speaking about where we're going and how we get there. And he said, here in this parable, when this man was invited to come there, or people were invited there, and here's a man that obviously was not invited because he didn't. If he would have been invited, he would have had a robe. Right? So, but he wanted to be there. But he couldn't be there. He was out of place. And the reason why he was out of place was he didn't have that robe. And Brother Graham said he wanted, and we have to take it, God's prophet, it's what he's saying. He wanted to hang on to that old robe or that old garment. So now think about this. If we have this garment, and this garment has a nature, and it's fallen, and it's a pest house, and it's going to pass away, and it's got all these natures to it, right? And that's the garment that we have on. But when it comes that day, He's prepared another garment for us. He's preparing that. And so we can come to that marriage supper or come to that realm, but we can't come there like this. We have to receive the robe that He has prepared for us. Right? We have to let the Word of God deal with us and form that so that it's healthy and so that when we're birthed into the realm, then we match what's there. And that's our robe. Because if we don't have that, we won't be able to be there. Right? So He's telling this right there. So, but the way that happens is by our walk. By our walk with the Lord. By the Word of God in our lives. And what we do with it. That's how the garment is changed. This is how we put on a new garment. And so what I was saying a while ago is that if we are changing garments, then there's a nature with that. We begin to act more like that realm and less like this one. Less worried about this. Less trying to live for this realm. About believing that, oh, we'll get a new president. No, this thing's going. It's gone. It's just almost over with. And we know that. We realize we've been blessed to understand with the message of the hour that God is preparing us and we're about to step over. And there's not anything a person can do when it comes time for their flesh body to die. They can scream, cry all they want. They can't stop it. Yeah. See, God's in control of that. And this world, there's nothing they can do to stop it because it's a pest house. This whole world is. See? But God's in control of our house. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And it's being formed by the Word. And so we don't want, as we're approaching that day, we don't want to try and hang on to the old garment, which has to do with this flesh realm and the nature of it and all the things that goes with the drama or whatever, all that. We don't want to try and go there and keep hanging on to that, because if we try that, it's not going to work. It's not going to work at all. We want to let God work that in us, where we take this garment off and put on that other one. Amen. And that's the way you do it. He says, Matthew, he said, and then they found a man there without the wedding garment. He wanted to hold on to the old coat. And look what he said. Friend, after I have invited you to my wedding supper, and I invited you and gave you an invitation to come. But then he didn't want the robe. Right? Many are called, but few are chosen, says the scriptures. Yeah. Amen. So we definitely live in an hour where free moral agency's got to kick in. Because he's not going to force us to be there. We will be there because we choose the Word of God to change us. And it would be stupid for us to try and do anything other than let this change us. Because anything we try to hold to here will not work. Amen. We're changing garments every day. You're changing garments tonight by sitting here listening, if you're receiving the Word. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. We'll let the musicians come. Lord Jesus, as we have been able to be in the house of God tonight and to be able to just to enjoy your word, Lord, and hear the things that you have committed to us, we ask, God, that you would just grant to each one of us the ability to cope with all that we've heard, Lord, and all that's in this great message. Lord, because we know you're changing us. This world is passing away, and we know that these things are here to change us, to change our nature, to change our dwelling place. And so, Lord, we ask God that through your mercy and grace that each one of us can cope with this. Lord, if there's any here tonight, Lord, that's struggling with receiving your word, Lord, we pray, God, that they would just be able to drive a stake in the ground tonight. And Lord, make their decision out that they're not going to hold on to this old garment, but they're going to accept the provisions that you've made, because you've invited us, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray that each one will find their way before you, God, that you can begin to deal with them more and more, and they can surrender more in their lives. We love you, Lord. Just pray that you help each one. Go to those that are missing tonight, those that aren't feeling well. We ask, God, that you heal their bodies, make them well. Bring us all back together again. We love you. Ask you.